It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We learn about the summer training regimen of a world champion speed skater as the most promising speed skaters in the country converge at the Pettit National Ice Center in Milwaukee for a development camp set to get underway today. Call in with a question or comment about speed skating, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Bob Corby is a former U.S. Olympic speed skating coach, came out of retirement to coach Keewaskum's Jordan Stolz. Bob, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you.
Good morning. And Jordan Stolz is here as well, Olympic and world champion speed skater, becoming first man to win gold in three individual races at the World Single Distances Speed Skating Championships earlier this year. Jordan, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So at the World Speed Skating Championships, you defeat Dutch world record holder in the 1500 meters, Kjeld Nuis. What was it like beating the top Dutch skater in front of a crowd of more than 12,000 Dutch fans?
Well, it was super unexpected, I guess, but definitely a really crazy thing that happened, I guess, in their minds, because usually the Dutch are always on top. So I think beating them and then seeing Kjeld's face at the end of the race was, I guess, something to see, you know, something, you know, I didn't think was going to happen, especially for the third win. And I was racing, so I didn't get to really experience much of the fans, but I think Bob did, so.
I wonder, did you talk with Kjeld after at all? Did you exchange any words?
No.
Okay.
No.
Bob, what was it like for you in that moment?
Well, it was pretty amazing because the Dutch fans are very knowledgeable. So if someone is doing a good performance, they go crazy and screaming, even if the skater is not Dutch. And when they are Dutch, then it's deafening. You can't even hear someone standing next to you talking. So it was just so exciting. And then to have him do so well was it's about as much fun as you can have.
They just like to light up the track and see a good performance, it sounds like.
Yes.
So
even in warm-ups, he was getting ovations when he would skate by.
Oh, so, wow. Jordan, how did that feel?
I guess like a sense of that the people there like me. So definitely made me feel super good that, you know, they're cheering for the Dutch and for me, even though we're just fighting back and forth. So,
Bob, put this into perspective for us. So Jordan sets track record in men's 1500 meters last season in Norway, goes on to win junior world titles. And then what comes next is really jaw-dropping. Three golds in worlds, all before age 19. How does he compare to past American speed skating champions?
Well, he's right up there with the top. Eric Tiden did something similar when he was 18, and Shawnee Davis, of course, was good at that age, too. Dan Jansen was really good at that age. But so Jordan is right up there with some very good company.
Can you walk us through a typical day in the life of Jordan Stolz in terms of how you keep up your training this time of year and what it's like?
Yeah, well, I think with the motive, me or Bob?
Oh, Jordan, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess staying motivated throughout the summer is a pretty big thing, but, you know, just trying to train as much as I can working with Bob. So a typical day in the life of me is waking up, eating, and then going for a bike ride. So
how many miles?
I try and get a few rides in a week at about 70 miles. So.
Okay. What does the bike conditioning do for your speed skating?
So I guess aerobically, and you can also do it anaerobically, but it's just, you're biking for so much longer than you are skating. So it really helps once you get back on the ice because it just conditions you so well, especially if you're trying to do all around or if you're trying to, you know, just improve your basic fitness.
What about those leg muscles, which we see, you know, when as spectators are just in a maze of the sheer amount of energy and muscle that goes into these performances? How do you build up the strength?
Yeah, I mean, weightlifting along with that, too, and we do other things like sandbag lifting where we put 50 pounds on your back and then just do as many single leg squats as you can and do that a few times. So I guess just finding multiple ways to condition your legs and get as strong as possible.
Bob, are you piling sandbags on Jordan?
Yes, occasionally I do. But he has no trouble lifting the sandbags. So.
Do you direct Jordan's conditioning, or does he kind of set his own conditioning agenda?
No, they get specific workout programs beginning 2 weeks after the skating season is over, and they've been doing about 12 workouts a week, two-a-day workouts. In addition to biking every day, he lifts weights and runs up ski hills, and it's pretty really tough training.
Do you dream up these workouts?
Yes, it's a combination of... a combination of what we did years ago and then a few innovations.
Oh, that's interesting, because you have such longevity in the sport. What does conditioning look like now and then, decades later? What are some older things that have stayed on versus what's new now?
A couple of things. The sandbag weights were different. I think those came in. People started thinking like, oh, that's just old school, but I reintroduced them. And then also doing something called turn skate, where you have the person leaning on a band and you're simulating centrifugal force. And then they do turn skates for 10, 12 minutes at a time.
I'm going to reintroduce you both here as we talk about speed skating and world champion Wisconsin native Jordan Stolz with us. Coach Bob Corby, former U.S. Olympic speed skating coach, you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions. Jordan, do you ever raise an eyebrow about what Bob is having you do with conditioning?
Only when I start to get tired and we're about 2.5 weeks in. And then... still got 5 days left, and it's looking pretty tough, but that's what's fun about it. So
you never know where the conditioning might take you next.
Right, exactly.
You know, in terms of the awards coming in, semifinalist for the Amateur Athletic Union's James E. Sullivan Award goes to the most outstanding American college or Olympic athlete. Previous winner of that award was Eric Heiden, another really decorated U.S. speed skater from Wisconsin. How does it feel to be in that company and recognized among such accomplished speed skaters?
Yeah, as for, I guess, the awards part of it, I guess it's kind of bringing popularity back to skating. But so it's a really, I guess, cool thing that I was able to get the award, because I guess if Eric Heiden got it, that was many years ago, probably 40 years ago. So bringing that back and having, I guess, that name be kind of mixed in with mine is a really cool, you know, kind of thing happening. Even if I'm not quite as good as Eric Heiden, there's it's still cool to be named up with, you know, the top skaters in the world. So I really appreciate it.
Bob, do you mind tweaking that language quite as good? It sounds like that you're on a different trajectory here.
Well, everyone recognizes Eric as being the greatest skater who ever lived, to win 5 out of 5 races at one Olympics. That's always like the most unbelievable thing that an athlete could do. But he is doing some things that Eric did, like at the younger ages. And so it is really impressive to even be considered in the same breath as Eric Heiden.
What did you see in Jordan to come out of retirement? What did you see in this teenager that convinced you to say, you know what, I'm going to step up as coach?
Well, I had only seen him when he was a young skater. And then when he called and asked me to train, I could not turn him down. Plus I was winding down my PT practice a little bit, so I had more time. And so watching him skate every day was pretty unbelievable. He's a phenomenal athlete. And then you ask him to, oh, here, try this. And then he comes around the next time and it's all completely fixed. So he's extremely coachable. And then that didn't count the training. Then the next summer when we added in the conditioning in the summer, that's when I knew that he was really destined for great things.
Jordan, you started skating on the pond behind your house when you were 5 while wearing a life vest, no less. What was that process like of transitioning then to training on the oval at the Pettit Center in Milwaukee?
Well, it's kind of something we would do, I think, like once a week when we were skating short track. But transitioning, I guess, I always felt better in the long track once I started getting older, like 11 years old. So it wasn't like that big of a thing. You know, it was just something that all the other skaters did, because we'd have some Olympians on the short track that were coaching and then some on the long track. And yeah, we would jump in, and I felt more comfortable on the long track. So I just wanted to stick with that. And then I kept progressing. My times came down, and then I was able to win the U.S. championships. And then after that, it's just been kept on going. So
do you have preferences of being indoors or outdoors?
For sure indoors.
For sure indoors, because everything is controlled on the track. Controlled conditions.
Yeah, good ice, no wind.
Oh, Jordan Stoles with us, world champion speed skater. Picking his brain, Wisconsin native Bob Corby with us, as well as coach in the Milwaukee area. You can join in at any point. Call in with a question or comment at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We learn how Wisconsin is helping to develop the next generation of elite speed skaters as the Pettit National Ice Center in Milwaukee's Junior Development Camp gets underway. Be part of the conversation. Call in with a question or a comment at 800-642-1234. Native of Kewaskum, Jordan Stoles is an Olympic and world champion speed skater, stays with us. Bob Corby, his coach, former U.S. Olympic speed skating coach and physical therapist in the Milwaukee area. Bob, let's talk about Pettit here. You've trained athletes at the Pettit National Ice Center. Short Track Junior Achievement Camp kicks off there today. How important is this facility to the sport of speed skating?
Well, it's one of only two indoor 400-meter tracks in the United States, the other one in Salt Lake City. So it's extremely important for development and getting new kids into the sport. So it's essential.
With a development camp like this, can you spot rising talent? Can you spot potential Olympians at camps like this?
Well, you certainly can spot good little skaters. So you can spot like, oh, wow, that's very, very good technique. And so you should really be doing this more often. So, but as far as picking an Olympian, that's a little bit too much crystal ball.
Jordan, you know, I'm just curious, what do you think about as you're gliding over 30 miles an hour toward the finish line? What's happening in your brain?
Not much. Not really thinking of anything, especially from going as hard as I can. But, you know, just trying to think about my technique and I guess more of my feeling for the ice. But when I'm going to like the second turn of a 500, I'm not really trying to think about anything, because I don't want to lose concentration on the boards. So,
Bob, is that about right, that it's really about the muscle movement and what has happened over and over in practice? Muscle memory.
Yes, it's doing millions of repetitions, so you don't have to think about that. You're trying to think of a few things to change things. But the other thing is too is that he's approaching 40 miles an hour, so you better be really, really honed in on your body movements.
Yes, because, you know, as spectators, we're just holding our breath because, slamming into the boards and those wipeouts look just so treacherous and painful. What tips do you have for the speed skaters, or how do you negotiate those falls?
Well, the skaters who they don't fall very often, thank God. And when they do, there's a little bit of mental having to overcome it, but they're all such phenomenal athletes that I think they just get up and go again. And I know he took a really bad fall last year in Holland at one of the World Cups, and I didn't see any. There was no hesitation on the very next corner at all. So,
Jordan, what can you say about mm-hmm. bad falls? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, totally unexpected. And I guess once I hit the boards, you kind of know it happens, but you're not really freaking out until, I guess, I mean, you don't really freak out. You just try and put it out of your mind what happened. I mean, you try and find the cause and try and fix it, which is what we did. So, but it was also partly the ice condition there. They didn't resurface after the women's 1500 meter. So what happens is the ice gets really chewed up from all the skates going on it. And then the blade just happened to go right into one of the ruts, and my boot kind of booted out of it. So that caused me to go down. So for the next day of racing, I guess it's a little bit of a worry because you don't know quite why you fell the day before, but you just have to put it out of your mind because you can't have any nervousness going into a 500 meter, which was the next day.
Let's talk about the Winter Olympics debut in Beijing last year, finishing 13th in the men's 500 meters, 14th mm-hmm. in the 1,000 meters. What have you learned from those performances?
I think I learned how to deal with the environment, especially being in China. Being at different races, you have to do certain things to prepare your body for the races, and I think that was definitely a huge learning experience. They also had the ice really different there, and I think learning how to get used to different conditions on the track was something that I learned taking into the season, especially with traveling all over. And I guess my placement was all right for the first Olympics. I think I was skating a bit better earlier in the season, but still happy with my placement at the first Olympics. So.
Jordan Stolz, their world champion speed skater, Wisconsin native, Coach Bob Corby along here as well, former U.S. Olympic speed skating coach. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Bob, is there a lot of variation in the ice itself, and what causes that variation?
Usually it's the temperature at which they run their refrigerant through underneath the pipes underneath the ice. Mm. And some rinks choose to run it very cold and some choose to run it a little bit warmer. And so that's the biggest thing. And then there's humidity in the building and different things like that. But it's amazing that I can't tell the difference. I'm not nearly as talented as he is, but he knows right away, like what's going on with the ice. And, or he just knows something is different. Then usually when we find out what's going on with the temperatures, that justifies his thoughts of like, yes, it really was different.
Let's take a call. Sue in Appleton is here. Hi, Sue.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. My two sons speed skated back in the 70s and 80s, and we were associated with the Waupaca Speed Skating Club. Even though we live in Appleton, they didn't have speed skating clubs in every city. But we skated on the Shadow Lake in Waupaca, and had to prepare our own ice, and those were the days when you had ice. In December, they had a big meet, and everybody was hoping that the ice would be skatable by December, and it was back then. And we also skated in Milwaukee for various meets, Oconomowoc, like your guest was saying, indoors and outdoors. And I remember when my son crashed at an indoor meet in Appleton, and he still has a back and a hip problem from a crash a long time ago. Yeah. Mm.
Sue, thank you for calling in and sharing those memories. Bob, how does the sport evolve over the decades? We heard about preparing ice in December and about speed skating clubs.
Yes, back in the day, back in the 60s and 70s, there pretty much was only outdoor ice, only natural ice. The old rink, the Olympic rink that was opened, was the first refrigerated 400 meter track. Mm. in the United States, and was that way until the Calgary built their track. So yeah, it was a lot different back in those days when you had to deal with skating in the elements. It was really, really much. This is much, much better now when you don't have to worry about skating into a 30-mile-an-hour wind.
Well, I want to just give a shout out here. Patrick in Milwaukee wants to say to you, Jordan, that more people mm-hmm. are tuning in and watching speed skating because of your work, and very proud. All right. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kate.
Jordan Stoles, Olympic and world champion speed skater, Keewaskum native. Bob Corby, former U.S. Olympic speed skating coach and Jordan Stoltz's current coach. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.